Just a little background about Paul. We talk about Paul a lot. When Paul steps onto the pages of history, he is Saul. Saul was not just a Pharisee, but like the best Pharisee. And it's important to this story. Paul knew the Old Testament. Okay, Paul would have, he just would have called it the Testament. But he knew law and old law and the Torah. He would have memorized all the laws. And then Saul had a change. Saul had an encounter with Jesus. And Saul became Paul, and Saul became Paul, a missionary, and started planting churches. Because once Jesus came onto the scene, and once people became people of the resurrection, you know, things changed, and everything was different. So Paul would go and start churches. And the area that we're going to talk about today, he started churches in an area called Galatia, which is modern-day Turkey. And he started a church on his first missionary journey, and then he left. And then after he left, some people came in behind him, and they were Jewish Christians. Judaizers is what they're called, and we've talked about them before. And they're basically people that believed in Jesus, they believed in the resurrection, they believed this was kind of a cool new thing. But, you know, Jesus was Jewish, we're Jewish, so you have to be Jewish to be Christian. This is kind of an extension of Judaism, and so they were incorporating a few laws onto the new Christians. So, what we're going to talk about today is what Paul talked about a little bit, which is the most important thing. Now, did any of you know when you came to church today that you're going to find out what the most important thing was? Last week I told you what was wrong with you, and that was fun for me. And this week you get to find out what the most important thing is. And Paul gets really, really, really angry. We're going to find out why he got really angry in just a little bit. But Jewish Christians show up on the scene at this church. And they are telling all of the Christians, all the new Christians, all the new converts, all the people following Jesus post-resurrection, everybody's super excited, to be Christian, you need to be Jewish. And for the men, that involved a little bit of surgery. All right? And that you talk about this over lunch, but they were imposing a Jewish law on them. So we're going to look. Everybody have a Bible? I do, so that's good. Bring your Bibles. We remind you from time to time, bring a Bible, bring an iPad, bring something to follow along. I preach out of the Bible nearly every Sunday, and it's just good to, all right, so just have a Bible. Galatians chapter 5 is what we're going to look at, and this is Paul speaking to the church of Galatia, Paul speaking to a church that is started, built on Jesus and the resurrection, and then some folks have come in, and they've started to add some Jewish laws. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So he starts talking about this yoke, and this is something that is mentioned all throughout Scripture. A yoke was that big, heavy thing that they used to kind of guide cattle and guide oxen. And a yoke was heavy, and a yoke was a burden, and a yoke would point you in one direction or the other. And Jesus talks about a yoke. He says, don't take the yoke of the world. That's heavy. That's harsh. Take my yoke. My yoke is light. My yoke is easy. So Paul is reminding the people, you don't have to wear a yoke of slavery anymore because Christ has come and Christ means freedom. So if the version of Christianity that you're trying to live out right now looks anything other than freedom, if it doesn't feel like you're free, if it doesn't make you feel free, then maybe you're doing your version of Christianity wrong. He goes on to say, look, I, Paul, this is verse 2, say to you, if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. Now, this entire chapter is about circumcision. We're not going to talk about circumcision for 20 minutes because that's just uncomfortable. But this was a covenant that God had with the Old Testament people, specifically the men. And this was the one thing that the Judaizers had honed in on, that you've got to do this thing, okay? If you want to be a Christian, you've got to do this one thing that's part of the old law. Anybody that wants to be a Christian has to do this. And Paul's saying, look, if you're going to do that, then you're kind of negating or you're kind of forgetting about what Christ has done, all right? And he wasn't against it. He was Jewish, you know, that was their custom. But he's like, if you're insisting on this being done, then you're forgetting about what Christ has done. Now, that was the thing that they honed in on. Okay, but we all have our thing, right? That, you know, in order to be a Christian, you've got to do this one thing. You have to do this thing. And then that was their thing, and we pick things, and other groups had their things. But Paul's saying, if you pick that one thing, if you pick that one part of the law and say you have to do that, then you're kind of forgetting what Christ did and the whole freedom thing. It goes on in verse 3, it says, I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. Now, when he would have mentioned the whole law, they would have understood what he was talking about. The Jewish people understand the whole law. That wasn't just the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments was just the starting point. They had over 630 laws that they had to keep. Laws about what they could eat, what they could do, where they could go, festivals, dates, all this kind of stuff. And he's like, you can't pick and choose. If you're going to get stuck on this thing that you say everybody has to do, then you've got to do all the things, the whole law. You don't get to pick and choose. And the 630, some of them were from Levitical law and from the Old Testament law. Some of them were just laws that the Pharisees had made up to make their life a little easier and the common man's life a little bit harder. Jesus says, you don't pick and choose. If you're going to do that, you've got to do all the laws. Verse 4, he says, you are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. Now, we talked a little bit about grace last week. Grace being this free thing that we're given, and it means not only do you not get what you deserve, but you get something on top of that. You get more, you get an abundance, you get extra. And he says, if you're trying to use the law to justify you between you and God, to make things right between you and God, you're cutting grace out of the equation. See, it's kind of like this, and I don't want to put any ideas in anybody's head, but just stay with me on this. Let's just say, hypothetically, you were to get me a gift card to my favorite restaurant. Let's just throw it out there. Let's say it's about $100. Let's say it's Victoria's in Columbia, which you can order right online. You don't even have to go up there. Victoria's Gastropub, Snowden River Park. Let's say you were to do that. And you give me this gift card, this gift, worth $100. And I am so moved by your generosity. And I say, you know what, let me pay you for it. Let me give you $100. That way we're even, Stephen. You say, that's ridiculous. This is a gift. You can't pay me for it. And I negotiate down. I say, how about $50? Let me give you $50 for this $100 gift card. You know, that's silly. It's a gift. And I say, okay, $25. Let me give you $25 for this gift card. And you accept it. Say, okay, that's fair. $25. Here's your $100 gift card. At that point, you have no longer given me a gift card. You've given me a discount card. And that's essentially what they were trying to do with this idea of grace. Grace is the hallmark of the Christian condition. Grace is the hallmark of what Jesus did for us. And they were looking for a way, what law can I do, though? We've got to somehow square up with God. Okay, if Jesus did this for us, there's got to be a group of laws or the most important laws, or how can I at least go halvesies with God on grace? And see, grace is simply that God knows everything about you. And he loves you anyway. And as soon as you try to earn grace, you immediately negate what grace is. So you can't do that. If you're doing circumcision, non-circumcision, you're taking grace out of the equation. You can't be justified by the law. You can only be justified by grace and what Jesus did for you. He goes on in verse 6, and this is kind of the verse that we'll hover on a little bit today. And this is a hard verse. This is a challenging verse. This might be the opposite of kind of how you think. Verse 6 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Now, at this point, you'd have to kind of stop Paul and say, look, Paul, I know the Bible's not done yet, but when it's done, it'll be thick. Okay, there's a lot of stuff in here, a lot of stories, a lot of rules. So you're telling me that faith working through love is like one of the most important things. He says, that's not the words I used. Said the only thing that counts. Okay, so there's like 8 things that count, and this love thing is like top of the list. He's like, nope. The only thing that counts is faith working out through love. You don't have to worry about your standing with God because God came down in human form as Jesus Christ, and he died for you. And when someone dies for you, you don't have to question where you stand with them anymore. They are for you if they die for you. Says the only thing that counts, you're dabbling with different rules. The only thing that counts is faith through love. Verse 7 says, you were running so well, who hindered you from obeying the truth? Verse 9, he paints an example that we can all understand. He says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Say that 5 times fast. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Leaven, yeast. He's talking about making bread. And when you make bread, you add a little bit of yeast. and it affects the entire lump of dough. It is this little organism, this little bacteria, and you just add a little bit of it and it changes everything. And he's telling these folks, you know, we were doing good. We started with this idea of resurrection and Jesus and believing in Jesus, and then just a little something changes everything. Eliminating grace from the equation changes everything. The only thing that matters, how many things matter? The only thing that matters is faith working out through love. And then, because he knows how important this is, and we'll talk about how important this is in just a minute, because he knows how important this is, Paul gets really angry. Okay, Paul gets angry to the point of where he kind of says some stuff that if I were just to get up here and say them, you could be mad. But Paul says it, not me, so can't get mad. It's in the Bible, God's holy word, true, infallible, can't get mad, okay? But Paul gets really mad because he understands how important this is. He understands that you can't change what Jesus has done. You can't negate grace. So Paul was speaking here. And in verse 12, he says, I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. Now, you can talk about emasculating yourselves over lunch today. But he says, I wish those who would unsettle you, those who would dabble in law, those who would try to redefine grace, I wish they would bring harm to themselves. In fact, this whole chapter is kind of about a surgical procedure, and all the different Greek words are about cutting and slicing. And it's like, basically, if you've got a problem with this and you're going to start cutting, keep cutting. Like, it's extreme. It's weird. But he's so moved by how important this is, because people didn't understand what was at stake, and Paul knew what was at stake because he'd seen things go off the rails before. Paul had been a Pharisee, and he knew that when things go off the rails and when men kind of dabble into God's way of doing things, that oftentimes leaders will become self-righteous, right? They kind of build themselves up to a standard that nobody else can meet. And since leaders are self-righteous and since the standard is so high, the followers ultimately become hypocritical because they can't meet the standard, so they say they do one thing and then they do something else. And the teachings get twisted and the texts get manipulated, and ultimately people would be mistreated. That's what happens. And so he was so moved by this. He's like, look, if you guys are going to just go away, go away as far as you can, because the only thing that matters is faith working out through love. Now, if you've been in church for longer than like a day, all right, you've got some things going on right now. You have some thoughts going on because you've been taught that there's stuff you should do, there's stuff you shouldn't do, there's right and there's wrong, and that stuff counts too, and we have rules and we have order, and what about that stuff? So you have questions, you say, but what about... All right, let's put that out. Let's just all say that together. But what about, okay, because there are things, I've been in church since the womb. There are things I know that you are supposed to do. All right, so let's talk about those things. It says, but what about Bible study? All right, I'm up here waving the flag, you guys need to be in a Bible study. We have like 12 Bible studies a week. Get in a Bible fellowship class. Get your kids in Sunday school. Like, that stuff is really, really, really important. All right, but the only thing that counts is faith through love. And the reality is we don't encourage you to be a part of a Bible study or Bible fellowship or Sunday school or whatever the case may be. We don't encourage you to do those things to get right with God. We don't encourage you to do those things to be a good Christian, because that's what good Christians do. We encourage you to study God's word because this book will make you fall in love with God. And digging deeper in this book, you will develop a love for people that you didn't have. And understanding how Jesus loved people will change the way we love people. And so that's why Bible study is important. It's not, you're not evening up with God. Well, God, if I do 2 hours this week instead of one, we're even on the whole grace thing. It's because the Bible and studying God's word and digging deeper in God's word makes you fall more in love with God and more in love with people. And then we say, but I've been in church a long time, I know rules, but what about my sin? Okay, and forget about my sin. What about your sin? Okay, let's talk about that. It's way more interesting. You know, I know that there's right, and I know there's wrong, and I know there's stuff we're not supposed to do. What about that? You can't just tell me that people can do whatever they want as long as we do this whole love thing. It's like, well, tell me which of the commandments you can break and still love God and love people. You can't. See, we think about this thing as like, well, we're setting the bar awfully low if all we have to do is love. And in fact, Jesus set the bar higher, so much higher. Because he's talking to his people and he says, you guys know the law. The law says don't murder. And everybody in the room and all the self-righteous people and everybody said, well, then we're good with God because I don't murder. And Jesus says, yeah, but you ever thought about it? You ever let a thought linger a little too long? You ever look at somebody that's done you wrong and thought, man, what if? You ever let hatred burn in your heart just a little bit too long? He's like, that's murder. And the crowd says, oh, well, we've done that. And Jesus says, the law says, do not commit adultery. And the self-righteous in the crowd say, well, then we're good with God because we don't commit adultery. I can't even get my wife to talk to me, much less other women. Like, we're good. No adultery over here in Camp Jerusalem. And Jesus says, yeah, but have you ever looked a little too long? Have you ever had thoughts you know you're not supposed to have? Have you ever had lust in your heart for somebody? Have you ever, you know, kind of dabbled in things that you knew you shouldn't dabble in? Like, that's adultery. And every guy in the crowd went. Jesus didn't lower the bar. Jesus raised the bar to such an unimaginable standard. And he says the only way you can achieve this standard is not through law, but through love. So what rule can you break and still love? That's how we deal with the sin problem. It's not that sin is okay and do what you want. It's that if the only thing that matters is faith worked out through love, this problem takes care of itself. Then we have a few questions because this is apropos to our environment. What about my rights? All right, because I've got rights. We've all got rights, right? I've got rights because of where I was born, because of where I live. I've got rights because of my socioeconomic status and the culture I'm in. What about my rights? Because there are things I can do, and they're legal, and they're my rights, and God bless America, back off. And first of all, Paul would look at you and be like, rights? What's that? You know, we live a certain way, and we vote a certain way, and we act a certain way, and all that stuff is fine because we're very fortunate to have the rights that we have. But I believe Paul would look at this verse, and I believe he would say any right, whether it's a civic right or any other right that you have, any right that is exercised and not wrapped and mitigated and filtered through and checked against love is not a right that you exercise. It's not a right that matters. But what about my rights? Well, but what about love? Does that right that you choose to exercise, does it pass that test of the only thing that matters? And then this is a personal favorite. What about those people that do that thing? Okay, now we kind of have to explain this because this is different for everybody. Those people are those people. You know those people, right? Now, for me, it's different for you, and you have different people, but it's that group of people, the culture, the economic status, the social status, the race, whatever it is, those group of people that when you talk about them, you say, you know, those people, okay? And that thing they do is that thing that they do. It's that sin. It's that sin that you don't do because you've either overcome it or it's never really been a problem for you or you're busy doing your other sin, so you don't do that sin, and somehow that makes you a little bit better, you know? But what about those people doing that thing? I mean, that's wrong. We should be angry about that. You can't tell me that that's right. And Paul would say, well, the only thing that matters, the only thing that counts, the most important thing is that you work out your faith through love. In fact, he would say every single thing should pass through the filter. And this makes us uncomfortable, right? Especially good church folks, because we know right from wrong, and we know there's not stuff we're not supposed to do and ways we're not supposed to act. And sometimes all this talk of love, you know, if all this talk of love and loving people makes you think that you're going to forget the main thing, then you've probably forgotten what the main thing is. Because the most important thing is working out your faith through love. He continues on, and he kind of clarifies a little bit. Verse 13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." It's like, look, I get it. We've talked a lot about love. We've talked a lot about freedom. It's not so you can do stupid stuff. You're not free so that you can indulge in sin. You're not free so that you can skip church and say, well, I'm loving folks, so that's fine. You're not free so that you can indulge in sin. You're free so that you can create more and more and more opportunities to work out your faith through love. Verse 14 says, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now remember the audience that we're talking to, this is Paul speaking to Jewish Christians. And this would have been a very significant phrase to Jewish Christians, because love your neighbor as yourself was not Old Testament, or it was not New Testament teaching, it was Old Testament teaching. It was something that they'd been taught from the book of Deuteronomy, that they were always to love their neighbor as themselves. It was one of their tenets of their faith. It was one of their laws. And he says, that's what it's all about. Just love your neighbor as yourself. We told you that 3,000 years ago. The last few weeks, we've kind of been tying into different movies and different scenarios that happen in familiar films that certainly tie into what we're talking about. And this week, I thought a lot about The Wizard of Oz. Now, The Wizard of Oz is about a lot of different things, but let's face it, ladies, The Wizard of Oz is about a cool pair of shoes, right? The Wizard of Oz is about 2 hours long, and it should have been about 12, and here's why. If you're unfamiliar with the movie, Dorothy gets sucked up in a tornado, and Annie M, and just gets taken to the land of Oz, and she comes across a lion looking for courage, and a scarecrow looking for a brain, and a tin man looking for a heart, and they're all looking for the wizard. And at the beginning of the movie, she comes across a pair of ruby red slippers. And they go through all this calamity, and 2 hours later, they're all trying to get home. And how does Dorothy get home? She clicks the heels of her slippers that she's had on the whole time, and Glinda tells her, You've had what you need to go home the whole time. And in fact, the entirety of the movie, the scarecrow had intelligence, he had a brain, the tin man had a heart, the lion had courage, everybody had what they needed from the beginning. Movie could have been 12 minutes long. She finds the shoes, click, click, go home. I just saved you an hour and 45 minutes. And ultimately, that's what Paul is saying to this audience. He's like, look, this is not new information. If you go back all the way to the old law of which you are familiar, you had what you needed the whole time. 3,000 years ago, we told you, love your enemy as yourself. And then you broke it. And then you corrupted it. And you twisted it and you manipulated it. But it's been that way from the whole time. And I think if he would look at the church today, you know, what's the most important thing? I think he would say, you know what, you've had it the whole time. Because Jesus came on the scene and he raised the standard and he says the only way to meet this standard is through love. And in the beginning, that's all the church had. The church didn't have rights. The church didn't even have a Bible. All the church had was this amazing story of the gospel, the amazing truth of Jesus' resurrection, and they had love. And Paul would say, you know, you had it from the beginning, and then you broke it and you manipulated it and you twisted it a little bit, but the most important thing has always been the most important thing. So perhaps the words of Paul were in fact echoed by the words of Paul and John and George and Ringo. All you need is love. Okay, and that sounds kind of hokey, and that sounds kind of like let's all hold hands, but that's the most important thing. You can't live a life of sin if you live a life of love, because there's no love in sin. And you come to church and you fall in love with worship and you fall in love with Bible study because it teaches you how to love and it shows you how to love and it paints a picture of love the likes of which you will never see in culture. When we get this right, it changes the way that we pray. When we get this right, we see sin in a completely different way. When we get this right, we treat people differently. When we get this right, we look at our own rights and our own privileges differently. When we realize that the most important thing, the only thing that counts, is love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, nor the rules that you've thought about, nor the way that you were brought up, nor the little things that bother you, nor the little people that bother you, nor the little ways that are different from your ways, nor the little church rules that you grew up under matter. None of the ways that you've tried to make things even, Stephen, with God, none of the things that you've tried to buy your way, pay your way, earn your way into grace matter. But only faith working through grace.